little man. As you climb upon my knee, the whole future lies here, little man.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 10th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. A few headlines before we speak with Dan Sears at Columbia Riverkeeper. Yep, we're still fighting the good fight against corporate depredations on public lands and on the last of our wild areas. It comes as no surprise that our guest today, Dan Sears, will be joining us at the same time as in nine counties in West Virginia have been warned not to drink the water coming out of their taps because of apparently there has been a massive contamination. Freedom Industries has just freed nine counties in West Virginia of their tap water. 200,000 people woke up this morning to start warnings that don't drink the tap water, don't cook with it, don't even brush your teeth with it, don't take a shower with it. Freedom Industries has said, oh, it's probably not too bad. The safety issues, you might have, like, your eyes might be a bit itchy, but you got to wonder if it's so bad that there's a state of emergency and people are warned not to brush their teeth or take showers. This chemical spill in the Elk River has basically poisoned the nervous system of the entire central and southwestern parts of the state. The news knocked people sideways when they were waking this morning to find out that peculiar smell that they were noticing last night had a peculiar origin. A spokeswoman for the West Virginia American Water Company said the company received calls about illnesses and said none of them were serious. Hospital emergency rooms, however, are flooded with people that beg to differ with that assessment. More on that in just a little bit, because we have our own issues here in Cascadia and we have our own headlines that we want to wade through before we speak with Dan about what's right here in our own backyards and which indeed bears constant oversight and monitoring. Well, another point too. Mary Baraka, Leroy Jones, has died. A voice in American letters, and of course, the spirit of an era, and a reconsideration of the way the left uses the term racism. Where there ought to be a bit more sense of the general criminality of the actions that have been perpetrated on African Americans over the years. There should be redress. There should be reparations. There should be, at the very least, acknowledgement that racism doesn't even begin to cover the criminality perpetrated against Black Americans. And so we mourn the passing of Mary Baraka. The long-awaited 152-page investment-grade analysis of the Columbia River Crossing project fails to satisfy at least one important guy, and that would be our state treasurer, Ted Wheeler. Maybe a little bit of a little chafing there, a little chafing down there in Salem with the governor's gung-ho approach. And Portland State University faculty and union members are having a rough go of it, analyzing the university's budget. Portland water and sewer ratepayers are going to get a new advocate on their side, the Citizens Utility Board, which already works to keep their gas, electric, phone bills in check. And an online announcement, Amazon released some details of something it calls Prime Air. It's a program which will use, get this, at the same time, who did we hear from yesterday? Norman Solomon. What were you talking about? Amazon, The Washington Post, the CIA, Jeff Bezos' adventures in Spookland. And today, what do we have? Amazon comes out with announcements. Prime Air, you know what that is? They're going to use, wait for it, drones. Yes, drones. Small ones, small, little itty bitty ones, little small ones, to deliver packages within 30 minutes of an order. The possibilities are mind-boggling. You could have your own, you could, that means that if you're not getting along with one of your neighbors, you could possibly call in an airstrike complete with double tap for a few extra dollars. On Monday, protesters interrupted the Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper during an event where he called for Canada's First Nations to embrace resource extraction. No, not anytime soon, Mr. Harper, not anytime soon. They're not embracing resource extraction. And just days before the holiday recess, Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Senate Robert Menendez introduced, as we noted earlier this week, Bill 1881, the so-called Nuclear Weapons-Free Iran Act of 2013. We weren't going to talk, we're still trying to reach Robert Neyman at Just Foreign Policy, on the question of sanctions. And the effect that they have. It seems that the United States never seems to get it right. There is chaos and bloodshed all across the Middle East, largely due to the fact that the U.S., for all its the amount, the steam it puts into analysis, never does seem to get it right. Weather, it's going to be mostly in the 40s and raining for the next few days. Dan, good morning. Dan, thank you so much for being with us. Dan Sears, of course, is with Columbia Riverkeeper. Lots of headlines to get through, but finally we have arrived. Port Westward. This is not an area, this is not a name, a term, a place environmentalists and activists think of often. It's not a tree sit. It's not dramatic. And it's terribly important nonetheless because, again, it's a corporate takeover of land. Thanks for being with us. And can you fill in listeners on what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Port Westward is really, really important for people who care about the health of the Columbia River because, you know, it's a critical point in the Columbia River where salmon are migrating through. It's also a place where people have family farms and other businesses that really are at odds with new proposed industrial development that impacts not just that area, which is, to give people a sense of the geography, just on the riverside of Clatskanie, but it's also, you know, that industrial development would involve trains coming through Portland carrying crude oil from the Bakken Formation in North Dakota or potentially other dirty fossil fuels like coal. And so what we've been working on is connecting with those folks down there who are working really hard on protecting their land and protecting that critical part of the Columbia River estuary and not allowing it to become this big industrial throughway for things like crude oil.
Well, what's frustrating is that when there was a hearing regarding rezoning here, and that is indeed what is at issue. That was back in September. The applicant, the county staff, and proponents were given priority, and the hearing ended before any opponents were allowed to speak. Where do we stand now? What are our options as far as speaking out and calling public attention to what should be criminal? And I fail to realize how the environmental laws cannot be invoked here to protect this region.
Well, the good news is that there's been a groundswell of opposition to rezoning 800 acres of the Port Westward area into industrial land. It's an area that features, you know, mint farms, berry farms, all kinds of other, you know, very high value agricultural products that, you know, are a big part of Columbia County's economy. The Planning Commission, back in the spring of last year, voted 5-1 to object to this rezoning, to converting these 800 acres into industrial land. The County Commission appears poised to go the opposite direction. And so despite really strong public comments and a Planning Commission vote that's 5-1 saying this is a bad idea, they're plowing ahead. And so the next step is for citizen groups like Riverkeeper and others to challenge that and say, you're trying to turn Oregon's land use program on its head, and, you know, you're going to really put out local high-value agricultural businesses in favor of very, very dirty fossil fuels moving through.
This is exactly it.
We're encouraging people to get involved and to get to come down to Port Westward and to see what the stakes are.
Also, you can see it on the website, on the Columbia Riverkeeper website, too. The rezone would destroy 1,000 acres of farmland, right? And all in the name of transporting coal and oil exports. As it turns out, though, that there's the possibility of a crash in the Chinese runaway economy, which would tank markets, exactly the markets that they are betting on. It seems that everything about this is wrong.
And, you know, Chris, the stakes are really high because, you know, the oil trains that would be going to Port Westward, that are going to Port Westward now, a pretty constrained volume, those go right through Portland. And they're the same trains carrying the same oil that exploded in North Dakota and Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. They pose a real safety risk, and that's something that hasn't been considered and hasn't been vetted by any of the agencies involved. And so that's one of the big points that we're really urging a careful, detailed look at this before, you know, we just rezone a bunch of beautiful farmland and devote it to dirty crude oil exports.
Anything else you want to give listeners? There's, of course, the Riverkeeper website. Anything else for people to know about, any upcoming hearings that we should be aware of that you want to mention?
Yeah, at the end of the month, the Columbia County Commission will likely move to approve this rezone. That will draw a response from folks who oppose this, like ourselves. And we expect to have more opportunities for people to come down and understand the stakes in Columbia County very soon. So thank you, Chris.
And see the land. See the land that's at stake. See exactly what they're planning on trading. Basically for a hill of beans. Thanks so much. We've been speaking with Dan Sears with Columbia Riverkeeper. This has been Echo Skidia 4, Friday, January 10th, 2014. Sam Parrish has engineered the show today. Thanks so much for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, we bring you an encore broadcast of our recent interview with award-winning poet Martin Espada. In this interview, we also celebrate the release of his latest book, The Troubled Ball. We also talk about the banning in Tucson, Arizona of Espada's collection of essays, Zapata's Disciples. My name is Mike Biggs. All this coming up on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, we're going to investigate poetry today with award-winning poet Martina Spada. He is the winner of many awards, including the 212 Milt Kessler Award and the 212 International Latino Poetry Award. Spada's collection, The Republic of Poetry, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. His other collections include A Mayan Astronomer in Hell's Kitchen, Imagine the Angels of Bread, City of Coughing and Dead Radiators, Rebellion is the Circle of a Lover's Hands. One reviewer has written about the Trouble Ball, quote, "This is what the poetry of witness must dare to do. For me, Espada's poetry is transcendent and very precise at the same time. His poems are an act of love at every turn and do bear witness in a way that is poignant and unforgettable." Welcome back to Flashpoints, Martina Spada.
Thank you, Dennis. Good to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to have you with us, and it's good to have you on this planet. We need a poet to sort of tell all of our stories. And I want to start with the banning of your book of essays, banned in Tucson, along with essentially the purging of the Mexican Ethnic Studies program, the collection Zapata's Disciples obviously made the list, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. You write a bit about it at the Progressive website, and you point out that you've had sort of a bit of a history on being censored, if you will, and a bit of a history in Tucson. You want to talk about that?